Hey, good morning, church. How are you today? Good morning. Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday. Some people might say happy Halloween week, but I won't because I'm not a big fan of Halloween. And so, oh, you're my people. So today's message will be easy on you probably. So, but if you're a guest today, I do want to say welcome. So glad you're here. We love gathering as a church and worshiping the Lord and just making Jesus the center of our life and putting Him first in everything we do. You come to church because it's the first day of the week. It's the day we put Jesus first. I believe that if you put Jesus first in your life, you'll bless the rest of it. So we want to have a great week. Start at church. Amen? Amen. Amen. So glad you're here. Last weekend, my son and I had an opportunity to go to Tampa, Florida to Pastor Matt Blair's church. We got to preach down there on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so it was a great way to be down there and introduce the Holy Spirit to several people there. It was a great time. We had a blast. Pastor Matt sends his love. He thanks us. I want you to know he is appreciative of our entire church for the support we give to them down in Florida. And it means a lot to have those kind of kingdom relationships. And so thank you for sending me. But listen, I know last weekend you didn't miss me very much because my beautiful and bold preaching wife knocked it out of the park last week. I've had a lot of people tell me that, you know, good luck following that. And so, listen, I'm not even going to try. But let me tell you where we've been. We're in a series called Born to Rule. It's about how the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. He rules inside of us. He wants us to help us rule our flesh and then rule in the spirit realm and rule through the areas that God has given us authority. And so that's what we're doing. Week one, I talked about how the Holy Spirit is inside of you and how He guides us from the inside. There's power in there, and Harriet last week talked about how the Holy Spirit wants to get out of you. So I helped Him get in you, and she helped Him get out of you, because the power of God cannot stay contained. Dynamite, it's going to explode. It's going to do something. It's going to show up. And so she preached a great message on that. Today we're going to continue our series about how the Holy Spirit helps us overcome the enemy. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today. So before we get started, let me pray, and then we'll jump in. Father, we need You. Holy Spirit, we need You to guide the conversation today. Lord, I pray that as we talk about how we overcome the enemy and how we have an ability to sense what is godly and what is evil, Lord, that You would help me to communicate Your words and let the people that are here today have open ears to receive. God, I pray that we would be inspired to live for You with everything we have, Lord. Lord, it's all about living for Jesus, glorifying You, Lord. And so, Lord, we love You in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. 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 So I'm going to go to 1 John chapter 4, the first verse, and begin there. Before I do, let me tell you the title of my sermon. And the title of my sermon is Read the Room. Everybody say read the or the, however you want to say it. Read the room. Read the room. So what does it mean to read the room? Read the room would be how you perceive the atmosphere of a room. It would be kind of looking behind the scenes a little bit to see kind of what is the attitude of a room. What is the underlying tone that's happening? It's important to be able to read a room. If you can't read a room, then you may like have a wrong response to what's going on in the room. It's kind of like in our worship at times when we are in worship, and let's say we're in a real intimate moment in worship and everyone's just, you know, in awe of the presence of God. If you're reading the room, you would know that's not the time to scream out, Jesus! You'd miss it, right? You understand that. Have you ever been in one of those moments? Like, I've go to, like, every time you go to a youth conference, they miss this. They can't read the room. They're like, we're in this moment, and someone in the back just going to have to show off and, you know, and scream out Jesus. We're glad you're screaming Jesus, but you didn't read the room. You have to learn to read the room. As a pastor, we have to learn to read the room, especially for me, and I'm working on this, to be honest with you, because sometimes with my personality, I'm pretty enthusiastic. I'm always pretty happy, and so that's kind of the way I kind of approach most everything in life. And if I come into a room where I'm going to be counseling or doing ministry, and this person or couple is really in a hard spot, they're in a difficult place, working through pain and some brokenness, if I come in like high-fiving, woo, you know, they're going to be like, you're not reading the room here. That hurts. And so if you miss it, it hurts people. I'll tell you another opportunity where I missed reading the room. It really helps as a husband to be able to read the room at times. Men, ladies, you need to read the room as well. Not long ago, though, I came walking through the room, and Harriet says to me, I'm really frustrated about something. Someone is taking advantage of a situation, and they're manipulating a situation. And she was just kind of working through it, and so she shared her heart with me as I came through, and I did not read the room. I said something like, oh, honey, don't worry about that. Just get over it. Oh, everybody say read the room. Read the room. She had to call Michelle to get a little help. She could read the room. Harriet let me know I didn't read the room. So she informed me that I missed that. We need to learn to read the room. And that's a little bit about what 1 John 4:1 is teaching us, how to read the room, how to perceive the atmosphere of a room. It's how the lights go out and you're able to stay in the mood. Amen. 1 John 4:1 says it like this. It says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Everybody say, test the spirits. Because everything that comes at you isn't from God. Every relationship that shows up in your life isn't for you. Sometimes people have alternate motivations. Every friend that comes into your child's life isn't best for them. You need to be able to test and read the room, determine, is this what's best for me, for my child? Every app that is on your child's phone is not best for them. You need to be able to test the spirit. What is the motivation behind this? What is happening behind the scenes? And so we need to be able to discern and figure out by the Spirit of God, is this a situation? Is this a place? Is this a person? Is this something that I need to be involved in? We have to test. We have to weigh it out. We have to use a sixth sense. Sometimes we refer to a mama's intuition. Well, God has given all of us a mama's intuition when it comes to spirits that are in the world, in the spirit realm, and we have to test the spirits. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:10, it's talking about different gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us, different gifts that the Holy Spirit uses to help us in our life. And one of those gifts is the working of miracles. I love the gift of working miracles. I love to pray for people and see God supernaturally just move and do miracles. It's amazing. It says that the gift of prophecy is another way the Holy Spirit helps us. And so we're able to prophesy and to be able to speak the words of God and words to life to people through prophetic voices. But it uses this next term that I think doesn't get taught very often. And so today is my opportunity to teach us as a church about discerning of spirits. Discernment of spirits. Discernment. What does discernment mean? Discernment means the ability to perceive what is obscure or maybe not easily evident. So if you're discerning, if you're a person that is discerning, then you're looking past situations and trying to read what's behind the scenes. Listen, it's different than wisdom. Wisdom takes a couple facts, a couple concrete ideas, and applies experience and knowledge and understanding of those and makes a decision on that. Discernment looks past the facts, looks past the concrete evidence, and begins to interpret and feel and perceive what is behind this that's giving it motivation and action. So discernment looks past those things. Discernment is being able to read the room. Spiritual discernment, though, is a gift that helps us to see into the spirit realm to determine if something is good or bad, or to determine if this is godly or is this evil. Discernment. Discernment becomes a warning signal from the Holy Spirit that begins to teach us that this is not a good place for us to be. It's a warning signal that says, this is not a healthy relationship for you. It's a warning signal that says, this is not a party you need to be at. It's a warning signal that the Holy Spirit begins to give you to protect you from being in environments that are unhealthy for your spiritual life. Discernment is spiritual sensitivity. I learned about spiritual sensitivity early on in my life. And what I learned about spiritual sensitivity is important because, let me just say it like this, without testing or discerning of the spirits, you may be involved in a situation that is hurting your spiritual life and you not even know it. And that's where a lot of people are, a lot of good Christians. They're just involved in things that they shouldn't be involved in, but because they haven't discerned the spirit, they haven't looked and tested what's behind this activity, then they're participating and not knowing that it's hurting them in their spirit life. So one time when I was about 10 years old, I was with my family, and we went to a little fair, a fall festival fair. And so they're always a lot of fun to go to a fall festival. And at this stage, when I was 10, you got to go way back. And we were in a little town called Maggie Valley. Anybody ever been to Maggie Valley? Maggie Valley is a small town that's inside a very small town. And so it's a very safe little spot. And so we got to the fair, and I remember I had a buddy with me, and it's kind of one of those seasons of life, you know, in history where you could just let your kids out of the car and they could run around the fair and you didn't worry about them. And so we were running around the fair and we were, you know, seeing, you know, people bobbing for apples. Just a little fair. It was just a lot of fun. But I stumbled upon this tent that looked kind of creepy. And above it, it said fortune teller. And I was with my little buddy, and we were 10, and we kind of looked at that, and kind of like, what is that? And so this lady was standing kind of at the entrance tent, and she said, come on in, boys. And so we're like, all right. So we went in, and I remember I sat down, and I was looking at this lady, and she kind of looked like a gypsy, you know, kind of a little black dress on, and she said, you know, have a seat at this table and hold your hand out and place it on the table here. And she goes, I want to look at your hand and read your palm and then tell you what your future is going to be. And so unknowingly, I stuck my hand out, laid it on the table. And she reached across, and the moment she touched my hand, I felt like a lightning bolt of evil hit me. And I pulled my hand back, and I remember looking at her, and I'm 10 years old, and I said to her, this scares me. I want to leave. And she picked up on that something was wrong. And so she said, oh, and she was really actually a sweet little lady. She says, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. I remember that she said this to me. She goes, I'm so sorry. I did not mean to scare you. This is just fun and games. Move along. And I remember walking out at 10 years old and had a realization that there really is an evil presence. And not everything is fun and games. And I left that moment, and somehow inside of me, God turned on the gift of discernment in my life and probably gave me a hypersensitivity to things that are evil, a hypersensitivity to situations and to movies and to all things that relate to demonic and evil. And I can just walk into a situation, and listen, I'm not bragging on me because I'm getting ready to show you how it's in you as well, but I can walk into that situation, I can see it, and something inside of me triggers, and I just begin to almost back out of it because I feel it inside of me. God has used this sensitivity in a very positive way in my life to protect me and to protect my family from involving ourselves in situations that are ungodly. The gift of discernment protects us from the enemy and his demonic influence in our life. And when you activate this gift that's inside of you, the Holy Spirit will let you know that you don't need to be at this party. It will let you know you don't need to be building this close of a friendship with someone. He will let you know, he'll begin to speak to you about places, situations, and activities that you don't need to be a part of. It'll let you know that this movie is not a healthy movie for your spirit life. This song is not a healthy place for your spirit life. And there's a sensitivity that gets turned on inside of you. And the Bible calls that a gift of the Holy Spirit to discern what that spirit is in our life. Now, I want you to know this gift is for all of us. It's for every person. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, it says solid food is for the mature people. For the people who really want to live for God. For the people who are saying, I'm all in for the kingdom of God. I really want to be a Christian and live for Him with everything I have in my life. Mature people. People who have stepped across the line from I'm just dabbling in Christianity to now I'm really living it out. To people who are serious in their walk with God, people who are serious about purity and serious about living in a way that would honor God with everything in their life. That's what this verse is saying. It's for the solid food, it's for the mature, for those who have the powers of discernment, trained. In other words, you can build this in your life. Mature Christians can train themselves by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. And so every single person can improve and grow and become better at distinguishing good from evil and understanding this is a place for me or this is a place not for me. This is something that I should be a part of or I shouldn't. Discernment becomes a mark of maturity. And in that maturity, we get better in our discernment. And we get stronger in it. We have the ability to become more sensitive in our spirit to what we should be a part of and to know the difference between good and evil, between darkness and light, between demonic and godly. And we begin to understand it and operate in a new level because we are practicing in it. You can train yourself to read the spiritual room through practice, by being willing. Holy Spirit, guide me, talk to me. And over time, you'll become more and more sensitive in your spirit. But I want to give you a caution as well, if I may. If you can become better, or if you can become more sensitive in your spirit through practice, you can dull your sensitivity by ignoring it. Amen? When you ignore this gift in your life, you actually desensitize from the inside out. You desensitize what good is and what evil is. When you ignore it, when you just either don't know it, you don't practice it, but if you don't pay attention, if you're just going through life and just jumping into everything that comes at you, then over time, some of the things that are evil will begin to just desensitize what is good and what is bad. The Bible says in Isaiah 5:20, this is about the Israelites, and they had become desensitized to good and evil. And it says, what sorrow for those who say that evil is good and good is evil, that dark is light and light is dark. What sorrow. Some of the versions that you're going to read in your scripture will say, woe to those that don't discern what is evil and what is good. Woe. What that means is destruction. There is serious problems ahead for people who don't discern what is evil and good. What is a place in your life where you don't pay attention. You begin to bring a mixture of the two together, what is evil and good. And what seems to be evil seems fun today. Oh, some people think that. Oh, it's just fun and games. Kind of like when I was in there, I stuck my hand out and I learned that not everything is fun and games. There really is a spirit world. And some people, because of lack of practice and a lack of use and a lack of determination, have allowed evil and good to become a mixture in your life. Last week, Harriet talked about the power of the Holy Spirit in her life. And if you want the full power of the Holy Spirit in your life, you cannot dilute the dunamis in your life by having a mixture of both good and evil in your world. Amen, church? Too many people, good Christians, like myself, have ignored and not paid enough attention to the spirit world, and we're allowing the enemy to bring oppressions and confusions and problems into our life. There are good Christians who are living in bondage and pains today because we have allowed evil to come into our homes and come through our phones and come through our TVs and into our bedrooms, into our friendships, and even into the church today. Because we haven't discerned, we haven't read the room, we haven't paid attention to the spirit world that's going on around us. And if we don't know that something's evil, if you don't know this is wrong, bad, evil, darkness, if you don't recognize it, then you can't resist it. And if you don't recognize it, you don't resist it, then you're subject to it. And if you're subject to it, then you can suffer the consequences of having the mixture of good and evil in your life. I think what I want to do is remind us today that we really live in a spiritual world as well as a natural world. And we can't ignore the spiritual just because all we see is natural. The Bible teaches us in Ephesians 6:12, it says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil. Where are they? Heavenly realms. There's a spirit realm. And if we ignore the spirit realm, then we're not going to interpret or read the room of what's happening and coming at us in our life. And so we need to have a sensitivity even into the spiritual world so we know how to respond to it. If you can read the room, you know how to respond. If you don't know how to read the room, then you find yourself in the middle of things. Ignoring the spiritual world will not keep you free. Ignorance is not bliss or blessed. Unfortunately, for all of you amazing people here today, now you've been taught and you can't ignore it anymore. And I do that because I want you to be safe in your life. I say this because I want you to be careful about what you involve yourself in. And the reason is the enemy is looking for access into your life. He's looking for it. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to let you know that the enemy is looking for a way to harm you. He's looking for a way to bring bondage into your life and to set up, you know, mentalities that are negative and hurtful and harmful, and he's trying to bring spiritual bondage into your life. He wants to get a little room in your life. And he does that through us not discerning a spirit, not kind of testing out, is this something for me to be a part of? And as we participate, we open ourselves up to whatever is motivating that activity. Am I making sense, church? The Bible says in Ephesians 4:26, it says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Well, we know that anger and sin both become an opportunity for the enemy to take up some residence, to get some space, a place in our world. We know that unchecked anger becomes a doorway for the enemy to destroy a marriage, to destroy a family, to destroy a friendship. The devil wants a little place. He wants a little room in your life. He wants to dull your sensitivity to evil. He wants to normalize things that are evil so that he can set up a little camp in your life. The scripture here where it says place, the original language of that in the Greek is the word topos. You may recognize that word from like topography. Topos, but it's defined as this, a place. And so what the enemy does is it says in that verse for us not to give a place, not to give room, not to give a region, a place of territory, not to give him a stronghold into our life or a foothold or an opportunity into our life. And we are to protect ourselves. That's what it's telling us. We need to have spiritual walls up against the enemy who wants to take up a little space in our life. And so I'm telling you all of this today for this one point. This is the only point I'm putting on the screen today for you today. That spiritual discernment protects you from giving the devil any room in your life. It protects you. Like this gift that God has given you and I is for our good. He's not trying to keep you out of all the fun. He's trying to keep you out of all the troubles. I personally don't want to give the devil any room in my life. I don't want to give him just one inch of room in my life. I want to shut every door, every opportunity that the devil may try to have access into my life. I don't want to give him just a little bit. I found with the enemy, if you give him an inch, he takes a mile. I don't want to have any mixture of God and enemy influencing my life at all, because mixture dilutes the potency of the Holy Spirit in our life. I think about in ministry the importance of having a pure life, a pure heart. I think about our worship team who leads worship. The Bible teaches us that from the overflow of what's in us is what we minister to others. And you don't want me to have been watching a horror movie on Saturday night and to preach to you on Sunday, because out of the overflow of what's in my life flows out. You don't want, listen, the fastest way to get off our worship team is for me to find out that you've got mixture of evil in your life, because the last thing I can do is let that spirit have access to this body. I would rather have less talent, high character, ministering to a church, so that the spirit, because we're not just doing, you know, like natural songs and clappy, happy, you know, times. What we're doing is we're connecting in a spirit realm with our Heavenly Father. And so we can't, that's why it says we worship in spirit and truth. Spirit, there's a spirit happening when we gather as a church body. And so we can't minister out of a mixture or a diluted potency of the Holy Spirit. Amen, church? And you don't need to be a parent with mixture. You don't need to run a business. You need the same Holy Spirit power inside of you, purely flowing out to run a business, to work your job, to go to school. Whatever it is, you need the power, the dunamis of God working through you. And without having a sensitivity, then you dull your senses to what's going on in you and around you from the spirit realm. So I want to encourage you today, if I may, to begin to practice discernment. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you the difference between godly and evil. Amen? Now, just to put it practical, if I may, in the last few minutes of my message, I just want to like highlight some ways that the enemy tries to desensitize our spirit. And so this is easy pick on right here. This is like easy target, if I can. Halloween is an easy target to understand here. Not everything about Halloween is evil. About 99% of it is. Most of Halloween is about scary things, death, darkness, tombstones, haunted houses, and fear. About 1% of Halloween is about candy, pumpkins, and princess costumes. The Bible says, test the spirit. Like, discern, what is this I'm participating in? Discern, what is this I'm dressing up my sweet, cute little child in, and I'm walking into places that have tombstones and death and darkness, and I'm saying, hey, kids, this is all fun and games. You know what you're teaching them? To desensitize what is evil. And that evil looks fun. Do I clap? I don't know. On the surface, this stuff looks fun. But the spirit is what you have to do. If you want to be a mature Christian, if you want to be serious about your walk with God, you have to weigh these things out. You have to look into it. You have to read the room on these things. And the problem is that we are just conditioning our children to feel that evil is fun. And later in life, when you're struggling because they're wearing black stuff all over their bodies and they're dealing with things that are harmful in their life, and you're like, how did they get there? Well, it started probably back when you opened a little door. Parents, may I so politely say, that you are the gatekeeper of your child's life and their heart. And God has given you a responsibility to protect their little young lives. They're counting on you. They're trusting you. And when you say this is good, they say it's good because they are not skilled in the practice of mature discerning of the spirits. And so if you say, hey, this is fun in games, they assume it's fun in games. And later they start making decisions on their own and you're like, I can't stop it. Read the room. Halloween, it's a gateway to darkness. Number two, while we're just picking on Halloween, haunted houses. Hey, you might as well just give the devil an invite card and the keys to your house when you go into a haunted house. Just torment me. You know, haunted houses are just culturally stupid, too. Hey, we struggle with mass shootings and killing and violence, so let's play this game that desensitizes our mind to all of this and promotes murder fear as fun. Like, how dumb are we? I love you guys. I just hate Halloween. Someone say, but it's all fun. It's fun in games. Parents, fun is not the goal. Raising godly, spiritually healthy children is your goal. Horror movies. Why do they write a horror movie? What is the objective of a horror movie? Fear. So why do you want to say, hey, fear? Where does fear come from? Does it come from God? No, it doesn't come from God. Fear comes from the enemy. So you go to a horror movie and you say, hey, I want to be afraid. You might as well say, hey, enemy, I want you to have access to my life and make a little room in my life. Sensitivity to the Spirit. This stuff truly bothers me, I'll be honest with you. And here's why it bothers me. Because so many amazing Christians, people who are just amazing people, don't understand that some of these activities open the door to the enemy in our life. If you dabble in evil, you can expect trouble from the devil. And any serious, mature believer is really going to want to know this so they can live out a godly life. And just as I close, just discernment. It includes the Holy Spirit speaking to you about all kinds of things, such as, is this a place I need to be? Is this a party I need to be at? Is this a friend that I need to draw close to? Is this a person that I need to have as a business partner in my life? Should I watch this TV show? Maybe even, am I depressed or am I being oppressed? Which one is this coming at me in my life? Maybe it's, am I offended? And now am I being controlled by bitterness? What is inside? Read the Spirit, read the room. What's controlling your life? Spiritual discernment protects you. So I went to that fortune teller booth, came out of there with a sensitivity. About 20 years later, I was sitting in a prayer ministry room, and at the church we grew up in, we had a ministry where we would kind of have a spiritual health checkup. And we had this questionnaire. We would answer all these questions. And it would say, have you been a part of this? Have you been a part of that? Have you done this and done that? And so I filled out my sheet. And one of those things was, have you ever been to a fortune-telling booth? And I checked, yeah. So like the Holy Spirit reminded me of that. And in that moment, I realized that I'd struggled in some areas of my life dealing with confidence about the future. Because in any family, you make ginormous decisions. At that point, I was making a decision of whether or not to leave my father's business and pursue something else. And I needed to hear God in my life. I needed direction. I needed the Holy Spirit to be clear in my life to speak to me. And I remember struggling through trying to find exactly what I was supposed to do. And in that moment, I felt like the Holy Spirit said, one of the things you need to do is to address that moment where you were using a false spirit to give you guidance in your life. And so it was simple. I just renounced that moment, that spirit, and I asked the Holy Spirit to refill me, to recalibrate my brain, and let the Holy Spirit come alive in my life. And so this morning, I just wonder how many of us need to go through a checklist and remember where I've been to say, I'm through with that. I don't want that in my life anymore. I want only what God wants for me. And so this morning, I just want to pray that the Holy Spirit would be activated, this gift of discernment would be activated in your life, and that your spiritual sensitivity would grow. And if there are any past experiences that the Holy Spirit brings up, that you would just say, God, forgive me for that. And would you fill me fresh and new? I want to move into all that you want for my life. So I'd love to just pray for you in this moment, if I can, if you just bow your heads. Father, I know that we've talked about some pretty deep things today, and it's important that we do that. It's important that we are aware of what's happening, not only in a natural sense, but in a supernatural, spiritual sense. And would you just ask the Holy Spirit, though, to increase your spirit sensitivity? In your own words, just say, I want to be more sensitive in the Spirit. Would you just invite the Holy Spirit to speak to you about what is good and what is evil? In your own words, just say, I really want to be sharp in this area. And maybe in this moment, if you know there have been activities and maybe past experiences that you've been a part of, that even now the Holy Spirit's saying, hey, that was an unhealthy place. That was a way that the enemy is trying to access your life. Would you just kind of think about what that was and now say, Holy Spirit, would you forgive me? Jesus, forgive me for that. And now, would you just say, Holy Spirit, where that was, would you now fill me with your light, with your grace, your love? Let the Holy Spirit become even greater in my life than it's ever been. We love you so much. Thank you, Lord. With every head bowed, if there are people here today who have never begun a relationship with Jesus, today's a great day for you just to say, yes, I want to believe in Jesus. I want to make him Lord of my life. Maybe there's been something that you noticed in service today that drew you close to making this decision. Maybe a song inspired you to believe. Maybe something that was said through prayer. Maybe something I've said in this message. But today you're like, I believe. I want to believe. And I want to give you this opportunity right now with every head bowed. If there's anyone here that would say, I want to believe in Jesus as my Lord. I want my sins forgiven. I want you to know this is a great time. This is your moment. I'm just going to invite all of us to say this prayer out loud together. But if this is your moment, you pray and say, this is me believing today. Would you join me in this prayer? Everybody say this. Dear Jesus, thank you for the cross that Jesus died on to forgive my sins. I receive forgiveness. I turn to Jesus. I want to live for Jesus. Holy Spirit, fill me up so that I can live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen, church. Amen, church. Come on, church. Give Jesus a clap.